to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Today I'm speaking with Nin Harris. Hi Nin, how's it going?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, that's okay. A little introduction about Nin. So Nin is an author, poet, Gothic scholar and senior lecturer at the National University of Malaysia. Her short stories have appeared in Clark's World, Lightspeed, Strange Horizons and many other places. Thanks again for sparing the time to speak with me today, Nin.
You're very welcome.
Excellent. So how I like to start off is some kind of warm-up questions. So
think
of this as like, I don't know, some jogging on the spot, some kind of swinging your arms. Think about it like that. So you mentioned before that you've been writing a novel to me before we started. You also have published a lot of short stories. But what's your favourite writing medium?
I actually have problems with this question because I honestly don't know. I started life thinking I was a novel writer. I mean, I always wanted to write novels. My first novel was more like a novelette, was written when I was 8 years old. So I only started loving the short story form fairly recently in 2001 when I was working on my master's on Angela Carter's short stories.
That was a good place to learn how to write short
stories. I was really intrigued by how she had made such short stories, compress so many ideas, and I just wanted to kind of see what I could do with it. And my first published short story was actually incredibly inspired by her works because I just love what she did with language. And before that, I didn't really think I could write short stories. So it's kind of like a novel is like your lifelong love, and short story is like someone you kind of meet a few years later and suddenly you go, oh God, I'm hooked on this person also. So that's a really bad analogy probably, but yeah, that's how it is.
So your novels are like a marriage or something, and then your short stories are like, are like affairs, are they?
Yeah, they're like grand things.
Cool. So are you a plotter or a pantser?
I'm actually both. Mm-hmm. In a sense, I tend to get ideas like everywhere, and at the spur of the moment, I could come up with an idea. But when I actually get down to writing it, I'm very methodical. I feel like I have a very structured brain, so I need to know where things have to be. So what looks like I'm pensing it, there's actually a structure and method to it. And at some point, I actually do sit down and go, okay, what do I want this story to do next? And I'm very deliberate about it. So, which is why, again, here I'm in the liminal space between being a plotter and a penser.
And when you do write, are you a careful crafter of each word, or are you a vomit drafter?
The first draft does have a bit of vomit in it, yes. It does. But up to a point where I stop and I go, what am I trying to say here? And then I get really careful. So it really depends on the mood.
Good. And do you have a writing fuel of choice?
Plain water.
Sorry, what was that?
I thought you meant food or drink, something else.
No,
plain water.
Oh, plain water. That's what you said. I was just wondering what the first word was. Plain water.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it nourishes you and it hydrates you and doesn't distract from the process. Oh. Although if I had a second choice, it would be robust tea.
I really like robust tea as well.
Yeah, because I can't really have caffeine, and robust tea, I can just keep drinking it and it makes me happy, so it works.
Yeah, I'm the same where it's I've still got that craving for caffeine or something dark. I know, it's kind of weird. Like, you think it should have caffeine in it, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, but it's lovely.
Absolutely. Cool. So we've got to know you a little bit more. So let's get a little more in depth. So how do you describe your writing and what themes do you like to explore?
Okay, well, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I kind of brand myself as an SFF author, a gothic author, but when you get right down to it, I just want to write stories that reflect the human experience, and writing it in a straightforward way really doesn't get me there because I have a very strange brain. So, which is why I tend to veer into the fantastical, into magic realism, into science, and basically for me they all overlap. So, and they basically do come down to certain core themes. I'm cheating here because I can see your question on the screen. So, which is what themes do you explore? And they do come down to core themes. And I'm always asking sometimes the same questions about identity and about memory and our connections. And I'm interested in difficult connections between people. And I'm interested in throwing characters in very out-of-the-way places that you won't imagine them being somewhere at the edge of the universe and they're still fighting over the same things. And I don't know, maybe that's a pessimistic view of humanity, but I don't think so. I think that's what makes humanity beautiful, its complications.
I see that. It's just, it doesn't matter on the about the backdrop. We're still humans and we still have our base emotions and our base arguments that we might have.
Yeah, precisely. And of course, a lot of people think that if you have futuristic stories, then we are in the post-humanity kind of era, and we would have those emotions, and we'd probably be just perfect sentient beings floating on a plane. But for me as an author, I go, well, then where's the story in that? You know, I mean, maybe I'm kind of really down to earth in that sense. I don't see myself writing stories about perfect beings. I like flawed things.
Absolutely. So you write about, so sometimes you're writing space stories, but then other times you're writing folk horror and kind of Malaysian stories. So your interests do fly all over the place.
They do, but they do kind of connect to certain core elements for me, as the ones that I've mentioned. And of course, the gothic, even when I'm looking at futuristic fiction, the gothic is always there. That's the reason why I became a scholar of the gothic.
So how do you see the gothic working in space?
Well, because there are core elements there is. I mean, gothic, science fiction actually derived a lot from the gothic. I mean, if you look at the work of Mary Shelley, those same themes against, humanity that kind of push back against science and reason. And this whole drama between the sublime and who we are and the vastness of space, for me, space is very gothic.
Interesting. Because, I always think of classic gothic, and so...
I think the gothic has evolved considerably since Anne Radcliffe and Horace Walpole, and we're looking at the key ideas of the gothic, the ones that we have, the Burkean sublime. And those are the things that we see in those core gothic novels from the 19th century. But those ideas have permutated over time and different kind of strands of gothic happening since then.
Okay, cool. So what do you think is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
The one thing that which has been the most helpful in improving my writing has been simply reading carefully works by other authors and kind of looking at different techniques, not being in a rut. I mean, there was a time when I was writing the same kind of fiction again and again, and it wasn't working for me, so I had to kind of take myself out of my fishbowl. Swim into the sea, look at what other authors were doing and kind of go, okay, this is why this isn't working. This is what I should be doing. And I suppose the single one thing that has helped me as an author since the beginning of when I wanted to be an author is just reading a lot, and not just reading, but kind of learning about the craft from what I read.
So do you sit down and make notes as you read?
I actually do. I'm kind of very methodical in that way. I kind of focus on, okay, this is how the register works here, this is how the diction works here, and okay, this is a great story. I didn't like the ending so much there. This is how it could be better. And yeah, it actually helps me as well.
Because I find it hard. I can do it. If I get swept up in the story, I completely forget.
So that's where rereading comes in.
Yeah, okay, so you're reread. Yeah. So the first time through, you're probably not analysing. Yeah. You're going back afterwards?
Yes, like for me, if I really like a story, I go, wow, that was a wild ride. Why did it work? I need to know how it works. So I go back to it. Right now, I'm rereading Patricia McKillip's works because I love her writing so much and her process inspired me so much. And I just want to go back and look at why I'm inspired by her prose. And I was afraid to do this for a very long time because I love her work so much and I don't want it ruined by that analytical process. But you'd be surprised. Every time I do it, it makes me appreciate the work more. So, yeah.
Because I've been trying to do it for books that I don't enjoy. So, you know, if I get to a point where, because I'm one of those people who was like, oh, I'll give it a few pages and then I'll close it. So I've been trying to make myself go, all right, well, what is it about this that's making you not connect with it?
That's a very good idea, actually. I have stories that I don't even know why I loathe. And I have really furious emotional reactions to books. I'm the kind of person who, if she hates a book, she'll just throw it across the room. And like a book poltergeist.
So are you trying anything new at the moment with your writing?
Am I trying anything new? Well, actually, yes, because I teach creative writing every semester and I teach beats and plotting and blocking, but I haven't actually been following it because I kind of rely on the fact that I have a very structured brain and I have my own set ideas of how to write a story. But recently I've started doing beat sheets for my novel and I'm finding it incredibly helpful.
Is that is it called Save the Cat or something along those lines? That where's that original kind of beat technique come from?
Beat technique. I'm not entirely sure. I've read a few writing guides on it, but I'm not entirely sure where it comes from, probably from script writing. But the idea that you have major beats and minor beats, and you, if you looked at a short story, basically it's organized in a series of major and minor beats. Something happens, a smaller thing happens as a result of it, and another thing happens. And you go back to the idea of the plot, as E.M. Forster says, the king dies and then the queen dies in grief. And those are two major beats. In between those major beats, there would be minor beats. And I love the idea of a plot being cause and effect, because this is basically how I structure my stories. One thing happens and another thing happens as a result of it. And that's where the dynamics come from.
So how's that technique going for you? Is it helping you?
Well, the first time I used the beat sheet, I was using it as an example in class along with dialogue. I wrote that story, submitted it that night, and I think a few weeks later it was accepted by Beneath Ceaseless Skies. So I think it worked.
It's doing all right.
Yeah. It's up on Beneath the Skies in the January issue.
Excellent. And what's that story called?
Benefactors of Silence.
Oh, that's a beautiful name as well.
I actually like that story a lot because I didn't expect to be so inspired by a class drill. I actually wrote that story in real time in front of my students and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. No false modesty here, I'm so sorry.
No. That's fine. Isn't it amazing how sometimes it just pours out of you almost, you know, without hardly needing any work, and other times it's just a constant struggle?
Well, sometimes it is work, but it's just that you're not thinking about it and you're just in the zone. And sometimes I mourn the fact that I don't always have moments like that. I mean, it'd be lovely if then I could write more and publish more.
So you've talked a lot about a few writers that inspire you. So are there any other writers that really do inspire your work?
Let's see. Recently, it's been Frances Hardinge. How do you pronounce her name? Is that correct?
Frances, sorry?
Frances Hardinge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard anyone pronounce her name, so I'm not so sure. I read The Lie Tree, and I loved it. And I didn't expect to be swept away by the plot as much as I did. And if you look at it, it's actually a pretty simple plot, but she did so many things with it, and I'm going, wow. And another story I read recently was by Graham Joyce. The Silent Land, again, an extremely simple plot that if anyone else had done it, I would have thought, oh my God, this is terrible, but he somehow managed to make it work. So I love stories that are like that. They're simple and yet they're so incredibly complex. And, you know, it takes a certain level of mastery and skill in order to do it well. And I love that because I'm always about trying to improve my craft.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you're a science fiction fantasy writer, as you said, and
yes,
you're a creative writing lecturer. Do you,
yes,
because sometimes there can be creative writing can be a bit snobby about genre.
Yes, they can.
Do you promote it and promote it to your students?
What do you mean?
I mean the do you in terms of the genre side, do you are you open,
yes,
to all genres in your class?
Well, since I write all genres, I actually do write literary fiction. It's kind of not an issue for me. I just tell them, okay, this is how it works. And my first class actually does tell them about the different styles of writing in different genres and that I'm cool with whatever they decide to write. So, yeah.
Oh, good. Excellent. And that must be nice to also see your students do well as well.
I've had a couple of students who have been published. One actually was runner-up for a national poetry competition. I'm really proud of that. And, yeah, one of my PhD students is now published a couple of times also. I don't actually have anything to promote right now. I do have another Beneath Ceaseless Sky story coming out, but I'm not entirely sure when. And I've had four short stories out so far this year. No, three, sorry. Three short stories out so far this year. But no. Nothing that I have a pressing desire to promote.
And what are you working on at the moment?
I'm working on a lot of things at the moment. I am working on Rose Mirror, which is the sequel to Water Myth, which is the novel I have out to agents at the moment. And a lot of short stories and two novellas and a lot of academic writing. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think I'm crazy, but.
How do you compartmentalize when you're doing all those different things at once?
I actually don't. I did try the compartmentalizing thing when I was a PhD student because I felt guilty every time I was writing fiction. And no, I have to work on my thesis. I have to work on my academic writing. And then I get stuck with both. So it's basically for me looking at my mood. If I want to write fiction, I write fiction. If I get bored of writing fiction and I'm dying to dive into something more academic, I go into it. And it does kind of help me that I love both equally. I can't choose between the two. So but you just go with the mood, just go with the flow.
So does your academic writing help your fiction and vice versa?
I think so. I think the research that I do as an academic definitely informs my fiction. And writing fiction just makes me energized to know more about novels. I mean, I became a literary scholar because I love novels not just to read them as a reader, but I just kind of really love to dig into the guts of a novel and to see what makes it work. And that's why I became a scholar. So, yeah, they do help each other.
Because academic writing can be quite different, isn't it? And very precise and quite dry.
Well, I try to kind of fight back against the idea that academic writing has to be a certain way. Some of the best academic writers I've read, they have their own style and it's beautiful. And the best academic writing is, to me, it's an art form in its own of its own merit. I don't know academics who would want to admit to it, but academic writing actually has its own, it is its own genre. It has its own kind of convention. And I think it's equally valid.
Of course. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time to talk with me today. So
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's okay. If people are interested in finding more about you and reading mm-hmm. your stories, where's the best place mm-hmm. to find you online?
My website would be best. It's mythopoetica.com.
And what I was just looking at it before, and what I really enjoyed about that is I'd read mm-hmm. your story that was in Dark magazine in April, one with a really long title.
Yes, being an account of the sad demise of the Body Horror Book Club.
But I really liked how you had your publishing notes. That was really nice to see the kind of the story behind the story.
I just love talking about the process, so it gives me an opportunity to just ramble on.
Oh, well, wait till your novel gets published. Your author notes are going to be like, you know.
Yes, it's going to be epic.
Sorry, I'm going to need another 50 pages for my author notes.
Oh, God.
All right, well, thank you so much, Nin. That's been really a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Right Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Right Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?